Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma. And the year 2020 reminds us that we can have a clear vision of our future. 2020 is a year that leads humanity away from the old and unnecessary beliefs and structures and over to the threshold of the new and necessary beliefs and structures. February is the first of three fire months in this earth year that will demand us standing in our truth, vulnerability, worthiness, commitment, and adaptability. My theme for the month is waking up to your truth. And through four live radio broadcasts and accompanying videos, I will provide you with inspirational messages to support you in the awakening process. Tonight, I will present part three, which is Lenten season inspiration. But first, for those of you who may be watching or listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. This is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the initial goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from having fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Now, every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live here on Black Hole Radio across the internet. Unless I'm on hiatus or something unexpected technologically occurs. And if for some reason you are listening to the live broadcast and you have a problem with your Wi-Fi or connection, know that you can listen to the live broadcast over the phone at this number, which is area code 563-999-3089. Now, I will upload a video of this live broadcast this coming Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest, on my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. Please go to it and like it and subscribe to it. It's very helpful when you're doing YouTube. You can also ask questions or share comments on my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio, or go to my website, www.wisdomwalk2selfmastery, and you can find the email link to send me a direct question. Also, of course, if you're watching this as YouTube, you can leave a question or comment in a box below this video. But right now, I invite you to sit and lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, wow, what a time we continue to be in. The energy is moving and shaking and moving us and shaking us, yeah. And I'm just grateful to have awareness of it, because it's very easy to think that the world is out to get you when things are not going according to plan, or you have a challenge coming up that requires you to say, ooh, can I really do this? Can I get through this? You know. And so when you have a consciousness about what is going on in the world at this time from an energetic and spiritual perspective, I truly believe it does help us stay calm, be patient, and open up to learning. Yeah. So I'm going to kick off my show as I do every week here by first calling out to the ancestors. And I thought tonight that I would just call on all the ancestors. The way this energy is going, we need all of them right now. So these, of course, are the people whose shoulders are standing upon those for whom we wouldn't be here without their living, without their choosing to be alive. And so we honor them and call upon them as guides, as resources, as energies that help us remember that, you know, one day we're going to be an ancestor. And so what legacy do I want to leave in my wake? Yeah, I want to be the best version of myself. So let's call on them and get their support. Again, ancestors can be someone that you were blood related to who died. It can be someone that was a friend of the family. Don't have to be blood related. And it can also be a celebrity, someone famous from history who inspires you or who you learn from. And so let's take a moment now to think of those ancestors and call on them to help us navigate through this energy, this transformative energy of 2020. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for yet another opportunity to open up to your greater will and to suspend our belief that we get to know it all, because we don't. and especially in the times that there is so much great change happening for humanity, so much that is breaking open, so much more that is exposed for us to see the pain, to see the inequities, to see the injustices, and to know that we do have power to do something about them, but that we can't do it alone. We need the help of everything that we can. And so, Creator, we're so grateful for your great emissaries, the ancestors, and we are calling on them at this time to help us navigate through this transformational energy of 2020. We ask them to remind us that we do not have to become in any way, shape, or form in opposition to the truth of who we are in order for us to win at life, in order for us to reach our happy endings and fulfillment. We need to be reminded that we can take a loving journey through conflict, through challenges, stay true to ourselves, and know that our modeling of a loving heart, an open heart, a generous spirit is more powerful than any anger, negativity, or feeling righteous about being on the attack. And so, Creator, again, we're calling on those ancestors. Ancestors saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here, for being around us, for guiding us. You who can see in all directions at once. You for whom problems here and not problems there. You who have come through a life, a living in this world, and who now on the other side have the clarity that we so desperately need. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being willing to come and support us and serve us in all ways. And Creator, I ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors and our connection to them in the name of all that is holy. And I say amen. Ashe, aho, afash, and gedus milan. So it is. Ashe. I'm going to share with you elemental wisdom for the week and also what is happening astrologically. Yeah, very interesting stuff. And also about our Earth Day coming up on the 22nd. So elementally and the elemental week, and this is based on the dagger of medicine wheel that I keep, the first day is the day that January 1st showed up, which this year was on a Wednesday. So this Wednesday, the 19th, we will begin a mineral week. Yeah, just coming out of a fire week, and now we're into our mineral week, and that'll go until the 25th. Here's the opportunity this week. It is about connecting with the souls of others. Yeah. Unity consciousness is what makes us human. We're definitely operating at a higher level of humanity. We need to communicate at a deeper level. We have the ability for compassion, understanding, forgiveness, and fifth dimensional relationships. A huge part of living on purpose is to be willing to transcend the shallow surface of what people present to you. See into their hearts and connect with their soul. In this way, you must be deep and simple with your own self and connected to your own soul. That is what the Age of Illumination, which we are living now, is all about. Use the healing energy of minerals. Those are stones, bones, crystals, shells, to illuminate your higher self and that of others. Yeah. Now, of course, with every opportunity that shows up, there's going to always be distractions. So pay attention and look out for the following five distractions that could come up this week to really try to prevent you from connecting to the soul of others. The first one is feeling sorry for people and taking on their pain. You know, this comes out of us really feeling sorry for ourselves, not having integrated challenges, loss, pain that we've gone through. So as soon as we see somebody else going through something, we right away, you know, kind of want to dive in, play savior, play rescuer, or whatever. And that's not okay, because just like you, that person is being given that challenge to grow, to be stronger, to be strengthened. And it takes big spirit to take on big pain. So we don't need to be feeling sorry for someone. We need to be supportive. We need to be empathetic. We need to be kind and gentle, but we don't need to take on their pain. So watch out for that. That's a really, real easy trap for us to fall into. False obligations is another distraction, because you forget that you are worthy. So you can step into a situation where you feel, I've got to take on this burden, or I've got to take on this sacrifice, or, you know, and that's just forgetting that, no, you're worthy of, you know, feeling good. And connecting with others doesn't mean that you have to be obligated to them. This isn't about codependency. It's about connectivity. Victim consciousness, another thing to look out for, because it's very easy, especially because of how codependency works, to feel like you're doing something for someone or being of service, but you have an expectation about how they're supposed to treat you as a result of what you're doing. And when they don't treat you the way that you think you should be treated, right away you will feel victimized. So watch out for that. You know, just because you do something nice for someone doesn't mean that they have the ability, capacity, or desire to treat you in that same way or similar way. So don't be attached to that. Do good because it feels good to do good without expecting anything in return. Also, anxiety and impatience. Yeah. A big distraction when we are connecting with others, because, again, like, we want them to respond in the way that we think they should, you know, and so we can get a little anxious and a little impatient, go into a judgment, let go of that. Again, back to taking responsibility, full responsibility for you choosing to connect with someone. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to respond in the way that you would like. You know, it's like people who are salespersons doing direct sales. You know, you're trying to connect with someone, but they may be like slamming a door in your face or hanging the phone up on you. You don't take that personally. That's what's going on with that person. And you just keep your mind open, keep your heart open, and eventually you will connect with someone that you can really get a good experience with, a reciprocal experience with. And then last but not least, please avoid gossip, judgments, and blaming when it comes to connecting with people. That is not a good way. Not a good way to connect with people. Like, come here, I got some gossip, let's gossip. Because, again, it's what you wouldn't want someone doing about with you. You know, so really, don't do gossip. Gossip is a judging and a blaming. It's not about sharing about somebody's situation. It carries judgment and blame in it. So that's definitely something we want to avoid. You know, whatever energies we put out, it comes back to us. This really is a boomerang universe. So we want to avoid putting out things that we don't want coming back. Now, next Wednesday, the 26th, which is the day after Mardi Gras, the day after Carnival in Brazil and around the world, we will begin a water week. And it's interesting that in Christian religion, that is the beginning of Lent. It's Ash Wednesday. And it is a time to be peaceful. And, of course, I'll share more about that water week with you in the next broadcast. Now, I have declared that October should be also Earth Month, not just April. And I also declared that the 22nd of every month should be Earth Day. And the people who manage the actual Earth Day organization are talking about every day being Earth Day, which I think is really cool. But it's good to designate a day and take that time to really put an emphasis on how are we relating to our Earth, thinking about our Earth, dealing with our Earth, contributing to the sustainability of our Earth, our home. It's also important to know that this April will mark the 50th year of Earth Day. Isn't that something? The 50th year, yeah, since 1970. So this Saturday, February 22nd, we will have what I have claimed as the month of February's Earth Day. And so here's some suggestions I have for you for how you can mark this day, raise your consciousness and that of your family and other people about the importance of us all learning how to be more responsible stewards of the earth. So I'm going to give you both spiritual and practical. So spiritually, here's what you can do. Next Saturday, you could commit to stopping and praying morning, noon, and night for all humans to have reverence for our earthly home. For example, you could set your clock on your phone for 9, 12, and 8. Or you could say, okay, when I get up, I'm going to do prayers for the earth. When I eat lunch, I'm going to do prayers for the earth. And before I go to sleep, I'm going to do prayers for the earth. But just some way to get that energy out there and moving. It really, really does make a difference. And so the more we can pay attention to, you know, the challenges that are going on in terms of man-made earth challenges and pay attention to that and take on learning how to switch that around. And so that prayer to me is the first thing that has to happen. We have to raise our consciousness about the fact that we want to see these changes come. We want all humans to have reverence for the earth. From a practical standpoint, one suggestion I have is that you make a commitment to reduce your consumption of plastic and paper. And you can just say for this day as a jumping off for how you're going to do it for the rest of the year or between February and March. And you get to see how well am I doing it. In March, you can up your game. And so, for example, you can remember to take reusable bags to the market. And that's simple, but that important. To say, I'm not going to use any plastic. I'm not going to get any plastic from the store. I'm going to use the bags that I have, the reusable bags. And, you know, not just the market, even Walmart, you know. Those Walmart bags are pretty hefty anyway. And they're making them now, too, that they can be reused. So, again, that's just one thing, but it's an important thing. If everybody were to do that, that would really reduce the consumption of plastic bags enormously. The other thing I suggest you could do is use a water filter at home and then take your water with you in a reusable travel bottle rather than buying a plastic bottle all the time. Yeah, try to avoid buying a plastic bottle of water that day, you know, see how you can just carry your water around with you. And I know a lot of people, especially young people, have started that. They do that. So maybe it's us older folks that need to get more conscious about that. And then last but not least, I highly suggest that you go to the Earth Day website. It's www.earthday.org, and I'm showing it on the screen. And learn more ways to participate in sustaining the earth. They've got a really cool thing going on where they want to have what they call community scientists. And so what that is, they're asking people in their community kind of to be a scientific watchdog about things like pollution, things about, you know, plastic consumption. They're actually going to give, there's going to be an app that will be available. So in other words, they're just really finding all these different ways to really involve people, get people into really taking on, you know, the job of how do we sustain the earth and clean up the man-made mess that that we have created. Yeah, yeah. So happy Earth Day next Saturday, and I hope that you're able to practice at least one of these suggestions, spiritual, practical, or both. Let me jump into the astrology for this week, because the big event, and it's starting today into tonight, is we've got Mercury going retrograde. Yeah. Now, It's going retrograde in the sign of Pisces, and then it goes from Pisces into Aquarius. So it's got a, the time frame is going to be from today, the 16th of February, into the 10th of March. So we get a nice dose of Mercury retrograde. Now, let me give you some information that I got from Tanaz, and I like what she says, both about when Mercury's in Pisces, when it's in Aquarius, but also in general, her message about how we can hold and how we can work with this particular Mercury retrograde. So Tanaz's website is foreverconscious.com. And she says that under this Mercury retrograde, we're being guided to go within and assess how we are using our mind. Are we using it to the fullest potential, or are we wasting our mental power on thoughts that do not serve? While Mercury travels retrograde through Pisces, we will feel our intuition and psychic senses heightened. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. We may notice signs and messages through our dreams or feel the need to give our emotions a creative outlet. Now, Mercury retrograde traveling through Pisces may also stir indecision and fogginess. We may find ourselves getting caught up in delays, red tape, or miscommunications. If these things do cross our path during this period, she says, it's important to be patient, to wait, and to understand that they are all part of a process of helping us dive deeper. And it's interesting, just before the broadcast, as I was on my computer, it just starts like not doing what I needed to do. It like slows down and then it got frozen up. And so finally, and it wouldn't let me shut it off. It was crazy. And then finally I did. And then it's like, wait, we don't turn off your computer. We're like, it was downloading some updates, but it just kept like, wait, we're downloading you, don't turn off your computer. And I thought, oh, there must be something really wrong. And I was almost going to do, you know, a hard shut off. But something said to me, it's Mercury retrograde. Stop, be patient, wait, let it do what it needs to do. And eventually it did. And so again, I thought that was interesting. My first experience of like, yeah, you need to be patient. Don't get reactive, just be patient. Now, she goes on to say that as retrograde Mercury enters Aquarius, which happens from March 4th through the 10th, so another 2 weeks, the focus will shift on how we connect and relate with others. We may also notice people from our past creeping back into our lives, reminding us to set boundaries or perhaps bring resolution to things that were left unresolved. As Mercury only enters Aquarius towards the end of its retrograde, she says it's at this time that we may start to feel a little clearer and less foggy than when Mercury was retrograde in Pisces. And I'm only laughing because I am a Pisces person. And yeah, sometimes I get a little foggy. That is true. So what I like that she goes on to talk about is how this retrograde can be seen as giving us an upgrade. So the previous information is just kind of the basic stuff about, you know, with every Mercury retrograde, there's going to be some upset, there's going to be some things out of line, there's going to be some fogginess, but be patient, you will, clarity will come, don't try to force an issue, chill out. But she says that with this Mercury retrograde on deeper currents, this energy will be guiding us to access new dimensions of our mind. Yeah. So, you know, we have been, especially over the last year, really been getting amped up to get more access to our truth and to parts of ourselves as humans. You know, we're breaking through some really old belief systems. Yeah, we're really moving. So this Mercury retrograde, she says, is that it's going to help us get access to new dimensions of our mind. And she says to help yourself open to this energy, start with thinking about your willpower. Yeah, Yeah. That's really interesting. That's really interesting because, we need willpower just for about everything. But for some things in particular, it really comes down to willpower. And to me, that is about being more strongly connected to your divine self, to your inner source. So she says, we all see the world through our own eyes, and what we allow in, what we process, is part of our conditioning, upbringing, and level of consciousness. The energy that flows through this retrograde allows us to rewire some of the programming of our mind. And then she puts in this quote, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And this is from Dr. Wayne Dyer. And she says, this seems to be the mantra for this Mercury retrograde rebirth that we all will feel in some way, shape, or form. She says, if we open to the energy and we feel ourselves guided to change and shift our mindset, to change the motivation behind our willpower, and to give ourselves more strength and courage to be part of the creative flow of the universe, that would really, really help us to not be a victim or pawn in all of these shiftings and movings that are going on. So, wow. Wow. I really, really like that because, again, most of the time we're thinking that, Mercury retrograde is coming to stop us, to hold us back, to keep us from moving forward. And what she's saying here is, this energy, which will have you have to be more still, but what it's doing is you're getting an upgrade. You're getting access to some parts of your brain that you may not have had access to before. So there could be some revelations that show up for you about a situation, about a person, about yourself, that you're waking up to something more. So she says, during this time, we can either get caught up in how annoying Mercury retrograde is, or we can choose to travel deeper within and figure out how we can see the world with new eyes. Wow. Wow. Very, very nice. And you can't make this stuff up. It's so synchronistic to what it is that I am going to be talking with you about for the rest of this program. Seeing the world with new eyes, waking up to your truth. So, remember, the retrograde is on. Don't force issues. Don't beat up on yourself. Don't try to create an outcome that just doesn't seem to be showing up. Just chill out and, again, go deep. Go in. Use this as a time to really wake up to something more about the truth of who you are. And so here's my overview for tonight. I'm going to first talk about how waking up to your truth involves transforming pain. Yeah. Because this program is about being inspired by the Lenten season of the Christian religion. But I'm going to be talking about it from what I call a postmodern perspective. Yeah. Next, I'm going to talk about accessing your truth across cultures and traditions so that we understand that this practice that the Lenten season is found everywhere across the planet. There seems to be a human universality in this practice. Next, I'm going to tell you why and how the Lenten season can transform pain, and of course, how that relates to waking up to your truth. And then I'm going to share a 40-day personal challenge. Get a little sip of water here. All right. My opening quote that I use for my announcement comes from the Buddha. And the Buddha says, listening to your truth is the beginning of a new journey. Those who have failed to work toward the truth have missed the purpose of living. Wow. That's really deep. That's enough reason right there to say, yeah, I need to wake up to my truth. I need to get it. Now, waking up to your truth, as I've said in the previous broadcasts and videos, is a lifelong process. Why? Because we are here to grow and evolve. That means that who I was when I was 5 years old is not who I am at 55 years old. Yeah, because my situation and my truths at the age of 5 are very different from my situation and my truth at the age of 55, right? So this waking up process is like a never-ending unfolding, that a process that is always going to be going on. And so the more conscious we can be about the fact that we are growing, we are evolving, that's how we can stay in alignment with our truth that is happening right now, rather than living out of truths from when we were younger or in a totally different situation in life, job, relationship, body, you know, that we can begin to accept, oh, okay, this really has changed. Now, how do I navigate this change? How do I be true to who I am now? And just take the example of aging. You know, I'm a baby boomer, and us baby boomers really grew up thinking we were going to be Peter Pans and Peter Pansies, that we were just going to stay young forever. And we really very much took on figuring out how to do that. You know, the whole exercise phenomena, you know. I mean, back in the day, like, my mama never put on no leotards and went down to the gym to work out. Women weren't doing that, you know. And so aerobics and all of this stuff and Pilates, you know, so working your body, you know. Also, beauty, you know, is off the scales. Everybody has to look like they're just about to be in front of the movie camera, you know. So all these things about staying young and being young. But the reality is that we age. We are aging. We're going to get old. It's just part of life, right? Things are going to change. You're not going to look the same way. You're not going to feel the same way. Now, that's not to say that you have to wither up and just die and stop, you know, keeping yourself healthy and vibrant. No. But it does mean that you do have to face the truth about menopause, and that happens for men too. It's not just women. There are hormonal changes that are going to happen in your body, and those hormones do affect your brain. They affect how you think, you know, how you experience things. And so if you're not willing or able to accept that this change is normal and natural, and you still think you should be doing what you were able to do when you were 25, it's not going to be a good day. Yeah, it's not going to be a good day. So that's why we have to wake up to our truth. At whatever age we're at, we have to wake up to our truth as adults. And so, again, as the Buddha said, you know, if you're not doing that, you're missing out on the purpose of living. Yeah. So what is your truth? And this is from a very high spiritual perspective, and that is that you are a spiritual being possessing an eternal connection. Again, possessing an eternal connection to divine source and intended for experiencing happy endings in life. That is the truth of who you are. You also have a power that resides within you to help you remember your truth, practice your truth, and achieve the treasures of living your truth. Also, your truth is always fighting to come out. Yeah, because like I said, it's developmental. It's always fighting to come out. From when you were first born to even before you die, the truth is still fighting to come out. So, To get at our truth, we don't have to just wait around for some challenging event to occur. Or if a challenging event does occur, we can be with it. We can navigate it through it from a higher mind, from a higher perspective, meaning we don't have to be victim to it. we can open up. And in the previous broadcast with Black History Inspiration, I talked about Harriet Tubman and, oh my God, I'm blocking on his name. See, it's like a senior moment. Jackie Robinson. Oh my God. And I talked about how these, you know, God brought these challenges to them that really began waking them up to their truth, what their real purpose was in life, and what it was that things were really about for them. So not all of us are going to be Jackie Robinson or Harriet Tubman. We don't need to be, but we definitely have a higher purpose in life than just getting up and going to work and coming home. Now, depending on what your work is, yeah, that can be your higher purpose, you know, especially if you're doing something that has a significant impact on the lives of other human beings. But I'm talking about if you're just doing, you know, a mechanical job, a mindless mechanical job, there's more to life than just that. Or if you are working just to make money, there's more to life than just that. And so to wake up to that truth, we can become aware that part of that process is we've got to transform some pain. Yeah. And, you know, eventually that's what Harriet and Jackie Robinson had to do. They had to deal with their pain and put it into a useful energy. Otherwise, they would have just totally been victimized. You know, Harriet would never have escaped out of slavery, and definitely wouldn't have been able to go back and forth and be okay. And Jackie would never have taken on stepping into the major leagues. Never, 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 never. So that transformation of pain is really important when we talk about waking up to our truth. And that transforming of pain is something that has been going on for humans since the beginning of human time. There seems to be evidence, enough evidence, that across all cultures and traditions, there is some practice, and we find it in religious practices, of taking on this transforming of pain. Now, it doesn't get said in those words. It usually is said about atonement, purging, purifying yourself, connecting more deeply with your God. But in essence, that really is about transforming your pain. Yeah. So let me just read to you some of the things I found in my research about that, the issue of it being that accessing the truth and transforming pain is something that we find in all cultures and traditions. So first, all major religions have a tradition and a practice for introspectively connecting with a greater order and direction with a God in order to purge, atone, which is so about releasing emotional pain, right? Because atonement has to do with I've sinned, I'm guilty about something, I'm ashamed of something. That's emotional pain. And so when you're taking on moving that, that's called transforming your pain, healing your pain. It's also called sin. You know, the pain is called sin, a going against yourself, right? And so Muslims have Ramadan, Jews have Yom Kippur, Buddhists and Hindus use full moons and other specific holy days, and in the Christian religion there is the Lenten season. Now, you should also know that in the indigenous world, in indigenous traditions around the world, like the one I keep, they have initiation rites that mark the psychological and social growth of pre-adolescence. So when you become a pre-adolescent, usually between the ages of 10 and 13, you, male and female, you're going to go out on an initiation journey. And this was designed to mark the time for you to begin to learn how to consider just more than yourself, you know, so again, to grow from just an egoic perspective of life, also just your family, and to begin to take on that you have a purpose that you can contribute to the community, the well-being of the community, that you're part of something bigger than just yourself and your family. You know, many, like the Lakota Sioux, will also use a vision quest for waking up to accessing one's truth. And throughout history, from ancient Egypt to Babylonia to the Roman Empire, you know, in medieval times, of course, human beings have understood the importance of and the development of communal practices for waking up to one's truth. And, you know, the simple reason for this is that this helps get rid of the crazy. You know, if you're transforming your pain, you can stop being as crazy as you are. If you're in pain, you can be some crazy. So it's like humans kind of got there like, yeah, we need to clean this stuff up here. Let's gather up and let's do this some work to do this cleaning up, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And so I wanted to talk about the Lenten season because in my research I found that it's beyond just you've got to be a Christian or believe in Jesus Christ in order to benefit or get some benefit out of this practice. And this practice I'm talking about from a postmodern perspective is where you are consciously self-managing and taking full responsibility on waking up to your truth and transforming your pain. Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. But I like to use the Lenten season for this reason. Number one, the word Lent or Lenten, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, so back in medieval times, and I'm sure it has its roots in Latin, but the word is lectine, lectine, yeah. And it means the time when the days lengthen. Yeah, the time when the days lengthen. So, of course, that means we're moving out of winter and we're coming into spring. So that's why Lent is considered a period of purification of heart and mind. Now, from a religious standpoint, of course, the Lenten season is where you're kind of recreating the initiation rite that Jesus Christ went through, where he spent 40 days out in the desert being challenged by the devil, so that he could then show up and be a public figure and be a minister, right? Because he's already dealt with the devil, so now he's ready to go out here and just preach and minister and do his thing, right? So it's basically what Lent is based on for Christian religion. But again, this notion of, you know, spring purification. There's this website I found called theschooloftheseasons.com, and the author, Weverly Fitzgerald, wrote this article about pagan Lent. She calls it pagan Lent. And so she says that there's a long tradition of spring purification. Cleansing is part of the action of the tonic herbs of early spring on the body. Also think of spring cleaning. And there were these secret religious rites in ancient Greece that people did this cleansing. You know, they'd actually go bathing in the sea to honor the return of Persephone back into this world, coming out from the underworld where she had been taken. And her mother Demeter was like so happy. And so they did this purification ceremonies, you know, for the early spring. So in other words, it makes, there's like this sense of, yeah, okay, so we're leaving out of winter, we're going to spring. Let's clean things up, you know, let's get some things cleaned up. Now, Lent is a time for auspicious change, but it doesn't have to be about deprivation because, again, in Lent, you're asked to give up something that you love, and you're doing this for Jesus Christ. And, you know, you're going to get through this, and at the end, you can celebrate with Easter. And, of course, you know, Mardi Gras, which is Fat Tuesday, and Carnival, which means less meat, where that was the day where you're going to fill up and gorge yourself, eat as much as you can, get as full as you can. It also included getting out all your sins, you know, go out and have all the sex that you want, go tell lies, you know, to like just be as bad as you want to be, right? Make mischief, you know, all of this, because the next day you're going to have to become a saint. Yeah, you know, start your Lenten season. So the notion here, again, is about as humans, you know, we're going to sin, or we're going to get messy, we're going to get dirty, you know, and then we have to clean up. So from a postmodern perspective, to me, it's about the fact that we are so, so busy, and we are so inundated with everything in our lives being on some kind of a schedule. The advent of clocks. The advent of electric light, so that now our day goes beyond just the time of sun up to sundown. Because, you know, back in medieval times and stuff, that was your time to be doing stuff. But when it was dark, you went to sleep because you didn't want to be out there with the ghosts and the ghoulies and the rats running around or whatever, you know. But now we lengthen our time. And so what happens is that we just are always, always on the go, doing. We're like the Energizer bunnies. Or like the Energizer bunnies. So it's important for our well-being in the postmodern world to seek out and take advantage of opportunities when we can consciously slow down, get still, go in, and deal with our pain rather than sedating it to the degree, especially here in the United States, that we do. Which is why we have an opioid epidemic, you know. What is that coming out of? That's coming out of people sedating their pain, their emotional pain, not dealing with it, but sedating it, yeah. And so Lent can provide a focused discipline to remove blocks to experiencing our happy endings or fulfillment in life, yeah. So it's worth it to take it on. Now, you don't have to be religious, or you don't have to be re-adopting a religion in order to benefit from this Lenten season challenge that I'm going to share with you. If you are affiliated with a religious institution, then I hope that the information I give you helps you have a deeper understanding of what the Lenten season is really about, what it can really, really be about for you, and how it really can create change and manifest some beautiful, beautiful things in your life so that you will feel resurrected by the time Easter rolls around. So here's the 40-day challenge. And the reason it's 40 days, I want to make a mention about that too. 40 is a magic number in history. And we see it definitely in the Bible. You know, it was rain 40 days and 40 nights in terms of the ark, Noah and the ark. But also Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days. But scientifically, they've done studies and they found that when you want to break out of a bad habit or an unhealthy habit, if you do the new habit or you stop doing the old habit for 40 days, that seems to give your brain enough time to get rewired so that you now have less resistance to doing what is more beneficial to you. Yeah. So 40 days is what it takes to get our brains rewired, right? So that's a really powerful and magical number. Again, this challenge I'm giving you is for you to be conscious, self-managed, and personally responsible for waking up to your truth by transforming your pain. So, and just so you know, I'm going to be doing this myself. I'm going to take this on. And even though I was raised Christian, I've never done Lenten at this deep a level. But I'm really excited for it and scared for it. But I also know how important it will be for me in terms of some things that I know are going to be showing up in my life this year. So here's the first thing. You're going to choose an issue or a block that you are experiencing in your life So it can be something related to your family, can be an intimate relationship or relationships in general. It can be a job, it can be money, it can be a health issue, or it can be more subtle in terms of some guilt you're carrying, some shame you're carrying, that you see yourself allowing yourself to be abused, that you feel that you're never getting the good end of a stick, that you're being a victim, victimization is happening to you. Whatever you are experiencing right now as a block in your life, you're going to choose what that is. And just choose one. Don't go crazy. One will be enough. So just choose one. After you've chosen that issue, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to set a positive goal, a positive goal. For example, if you feel like, you're just having so much problems with money, like you just living hand to mouth, or as soon as it comes in, it goes out. Like, it's just not, the money flow isn't happening. It's just, and it's really a block to things you want to do and be it. You know, you're worrying about it all the time. Okay. I don't want to have these money problems. Okay. That's not a positive goal. The positive goal is something like this. I choose to live in my worthiness for abundance and true love. Always add love in there, right? I choose to live in my worthiness for abundance and true love. So stay away from the word not and focus on what it is that you want as a result. How is it that you want to be, and have it be as a positive a statement as you can possibly make, okay? So stay away from not. Once you've done that, you've chosen your issue, you've set your positive goal, next you're going to choose your sacrifice. And the sacrifice is a sedating behavior. So you're going to do a little work if you're not conscious of it, but I'm sure there's something that you do when that pain starts to show up or that anxiety, and that you're doing it in an addictive way. Right? Meaning that it's almost like you're out of control, whether that's binge watching Disney Plus or Netflix, whether it is, consumption of alcohol, it may be other drugs, it may be indiscriminate sex, it may be gambling, it may be shopping, right? So you want to look at that. What is it that you're doing, okay, that's in excess, that if you were to think about, I need to stop doing this, how would you respond? And if it's like, ooh, I can't really, oh, that's going to be challenging, then you found your thing. And you found your sacrifice, right? If it's sugar, maybe it's sugar, whatever. But find that thing. Because what you're going to do, you're going to commit to not doing that particular behavior for 40 days. It's really a little longer than 40 days because Lent doesn't happen on Sundays, but Sunday's not the day you go back to. Sunday's not the day you go back to your stuff. No, Sunday's just supposed to be a day when, you're really, really thinking about your connection to your God and, but they don't count the Sundays. I don't know why not. So really Lent is something like 46 days, but I like the number 40. It makes me feel good. Now, this is really, really important part of this process, because even though it's self-managed and you're taking full responsibility, you still need support. You still need help. And so choose your supports. That can be a person or a group of people. It can be a place. It can be a religious affiliation. It can be a song. It can be an affirmation, a mantra. It can be a book that you're going to use that helps you stay focused, whatever. But choose your supports, align them up. That's what I call having your medicine bag. Get your medicine bag together. And that is what will help you stay the course through this challenge, because it will be challenging. And then last but not least, stay awake and conscious to the process, fully conscious to the process, by keeping a daily record of, and you say, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I believing about myself? And you can do that when you first wake up in the morning, or you can do it before you go to bed at night. I usually do it before I go to bed at night, and I actually somebody had gifted me a couple of years ago, beautiful, vintage bound journal, and I'm going to use that to record my experience. And this is really important because you in order to really not fall into I can't do this and I you know, or if you do relapse to the sedating behavior, you want to pull yourself out of it, you know, because relapse is an important part of a growth process. So you might relapse, but don't think because you relapse that, okay, I can't do it. No. Continue on. And so having a journal that helps you stay conscious about, you know, how crazy you're being or how you're feeling, yeah, it will help you. It will help you sustain the course. It will help you keep going and not give up. Because when you get to that final day, when you get through this process, you will have transformed your pain. And you will get evidence of that. Yeah. Things are going to show up that are going to give you evidence that, wow, something is really different. And it's like back to the Mercury retrograde. And this is interesting too, right? Because this Mercury retrograde is happening, you know, for a big chunk of this, of these 40 days. And this retrograde being this upgrade, right? So you have this upgrade energy going on as you're taking on this 40-day challenge to transform your pain so that you can have greater access to your truth of who and what you are right now, right here, right today in your life. So this personal challenge will be listed in the box below the YouTube video, and I will also post it out on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. Wow. Amazing. So I've gone a little over, but it was worth it to get that out because I just think it's so important. And again, like I said, in our postmodern existence, we just get so, so caught up. And it's really important to take time to address your pain. Don't keep letting it run your life. You know, we all have a pain body. We all have a core wound. We work on it one layer after another. It's a lifelong process. But the more that you engage with it consciously, the more you experience, again, those happy endings in life. You don't feel blocked to having, being, and doing what it is that you really deserve, what is in alignment with your higher purpose. So I'm going to close out by first shouting out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker. Thank you so much. She's coming home from work, and she still found a way to make sure that I got connected to do this broadcast. So to Yvette and the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family, thank you, thank you, thank you. Of course, I couldn't do this without your support. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners out there and to Miss Sarah, who once again always inspires me to live life to the fullest. And to those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues like Ms. Amanda Kemp, and my medicine brothers and sisters like Asu and Ina around the world, and those who may be listening or watching in for the first time. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I couldn't have done this without your support. And you'll notice I have the Valentine's Day balloons in the back there saying, I love you. They were gifted to me by Miss Sarah, and I'm just so grateful to be able to have an expression of the love to share with you right now. Yeah, yeah. I also want to mention about my book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. It is available at Amazon, through Amazon, through even Walmart, Barnes & Nobles. It is also available through Kindle at, less than half of the cost of the actual book, but it is available through Kindle. And I am working on an audio version of it, which I hope to have done and out by the end of 2020. So, but again, it helps you understand about the elemental wisdom. And again, it, I think, just a really wonderful guide to, again, some ancient wisdom that you can use in modern times for transforming your pain. Yeah, yeah. And so, last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous mineral week coming up. Honor the Mercury retrograde as a time to upgrade your mind. Remember Earth Day on Saturday the 22nd, and do something to love on the earth. And most importantly, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.